Hi, I'm Tamina, gender equality activist and sales professional at a global technology company. When I graduated from college in 2017, I was struggling to figure out how adulting works. School did not properly prepare me for some of the most basic things that my young professional life would eventually throw at me. If this sounds familiar, please join me on this journey to empower young women who are, just like myself, still in search of a fulfilling, purpose-driven life. Welcome to FemHive. Hi, ladies. On today's episode, I'm excited to welcome Marina Lommel. Marina is the founder and CEO of Foodpunk, a German startup that is hoping to revolutionize the nutrition space. Marina is also the author of 4 books on keto and low-carb diet and was recognized as one of the top 100 founders in Germany by Business Punk. Today, Marina is going to talk about her journey as a female founder. Hi, Marina. Welcome to FemHive. I'm so happy to have you.
Hi, Tamina. Happy to be there.
Awesome. So I know you probably must have gotten this question a gazillion times at this point, but how did the idea for Foodpunk come about?
The fun thing is, maybe you remember that we both worked in the radio station together. Back then, I somehow got the name of Foodpunk in my mind, and I just started the blog domain and the Facebook page, and then I did nothing with that because I had not registered a trademark. So I've just been there waiting. I had all these websites and I haven't done anything with them. And yeah, then actually we had a seminar at the radio station about social media marketing. And I was like, okay, I have some Facebook page there. Okay, let's use it again and have a look what it turns out. I just started posting nutrition content as I am a nutrition scientist. And somehow this thing worked quite well. So in, 2 weeks, I got 400 readers. And that was so much for me that I said, okay, great, this is a business. I will cancel my job. I worked at a TV station also back then. I just said, okay, this is my business now. I will cancel my job. I will create a website. Bye. I'm an entrepreneur now. So I had no product, no business plan, no nothing. But I had the will to teach about nutrition science and show the people how easy healthy nutrition is and how interesting the biochemistry is that happens in your body every day. And I just wrote a lot of articles on the biochemistry in your body that people could easily understand. And that is how everything started.
Wow. I love that story. You just started doing what you love doing, as in talk about nutrition science. And all of a sudden, you found an audience. And then you all of a sudden just took that leap of faith and decided to quit your job. I really love that. So obviously, a lot has happened since then. Walk us through the company's journey. You started by yourself in 2015, and now more than 5 years later, you are a team of more than 10 people, I believe.
15 roundabout. I always have to count because we always get new interns and so on. Yeah, it started when I just started this Facebook page. In this social media marketing course, I registered the trademark. So I was not completely occupied with the things we did in the course. So I had some time and I registered the trademark, created the Facebook page, and then I just started working on a website day and night, which launched 1 month later. And 3 months later, I founded the company with the correct legal way. My father was able to lend me the 12,500 euros I needed for this GmbH. And yeah, he's got it back. And I've worked on it alone for more than a year. People started asking me whether I was able to create some nutrition plans for them. I was looking for a way to make that scalable. And as I love mathematics, I created a scalable way to do these nutrition plans in Excel. I automized something on my own and I worked on that and created the personalized meal plans, which is our core product. And in the end of 2016, I really hired my first full-time employee. I remember when my boyfriend heard about it, he was asking what do you want her to do? So do you even have enough work for her? And yeah, definitely, because the work grew so fast. We had a pop-up store in 2016. We added more team members. Really soon, the office became too small. We had the first office in 2016, which was like 12 square meters. And this became really small too fast. And in 2017, we changed to an office of like 200 square meters, where we have still room to grow a little bit, because of the round about 15 employees that I have today, only 5-6 are working in the office. The others are around the globe. I have an employee in Indonesia. I have employees in Berlin, in Memmingen, in Bavaria, and we're quite digital.
Wow, that's wonderful to hear. Congratulations on that growth. And I love that you're also giving your employees the flexibility to work remotely from wherever, you know, they want to work or are currently based, because I think that's actually how work is supposed to be. And it's probably what the future of work is going to look like, especially after this very interesting year of COVID and people moving to home office. So you've obviously like experienced a lot of growth in terms of hiring. What have been like some other big milestones for Foodpunk so far?
I guess one of the biggest milestones was our first prize. We won the Breakthrough Award for Best Startup in 2018 with, I guess, we received 10,000 euros as a prize, which was so much back then. And now I have like multiple 10,000 euros every month as costs. And yeah, back then that was so much. And we received some media budget. And then we won several other prizes, like on an international trade fair. We won like the best innovation product with some low carb bread baking mixes that we have, and like Lecker Liebling Award, it's called in Germany, an award for the best startup in the publishing food scene. And this was really great. We launched our app in 2019, in the beginning of last year, which was a really, really big milestone, because since I've started Foodpunk, I wanted to create this app, but it's so expensive and it does take a lot of developers. You cannot really create that with just one person. So it took some time until I was able like to gather all the money to create this and to create the team to develop this app. And it started in 2019. Since then, like, the company has completely changed. Now we're completely scalable. We can work with personal trainers, with doctors, physicians. We can work with B2C and B2B. We can work in the corporate healthcare sector. And this really changed the whole company.
Wow, that's incredible. So again, congrats on that success and all the awards you were able to win. That's really, really impressive, especially for a company that was pretty young at that point, right? Like, sometimes there are startups who are working for years and years until they finally receive some recognition. And being able to share with me today all the things that you've accomplished within a relatively short period of time, I think is really impressive. And you were already giving a little bit of a sneak peek about the future, but generally speaking, where do you see the future of Foodpunk? What is your big vision, Marina?
So I'm really sure that nutrition will take a much bigger role as it does today. So I'm a really huge fan of data-based nutrition and quantified self and this self-optimization scene. And I believe that in the future, with the help of data and science, we all will be able to create a personalized nutrition, which is based on our genome, on our microbiome, on our activity levels, and on our daily habits. And we want to create this future of nutrition with our software and technology that we have. And in the end, we want to know you better than you know yourself, to provide the best nutrition advice, better even than a nutrition expert can do it for you, because we can work with all the data.
That's incredible. And I think, you know, having that scalability and leveraging technology, obviously, it's become such an important thing and a no-brainer. And I mean, the health and wellness space in general has been growing so much over the past couple of years alone, right? So I definitely agree with you in the sense that there's still so much room for growth in that space, especially internationally. I feel like when I'm thinking about my American friends, nutrition is definitely something that where there's still room for education. I will never forget some of my friends. I will not name them, but they legit believe that having apple with like peanut butter is like a super healthy snack because it has a load of protein. And just like some general misconceptions about nutrition, especially in the United States, is something that to me as a European has just always been really, really funny. Or the fact that they always have chips with a sandwich. It's just hilarious. So again, really think that there's a lot of room for education in that space. And I know you have kind of like a grand vision to reach a certain number of people by 2025. Is that correct?
Yeah, sure. So at least 1 million people is what we want to reach, who we want to reach with personalized nutrition and really change their lives. And we get a lot of feedback from our clients because we managed to create a huge community and the people really stick to like the mindset, the lifestyle that we provide. And these people give us feedback and we really see that what we do is able to change lives.
Oh, that's wonderful. And I've seen some of the before and after pictures in your group and on your social media channels. And I've read some of the testimonials. So clearly you're having such a significant impact on people's lives, especially people with underlying health conditions like diabetes, for example. So I'm really, really glad that your platform and your company has been able to have such a positive impact. So I know, you know, from back in the days when we used to work together, you've always had this passion for science and particularly nutrition science, which was obviously your major in college. Like looking back today, like what is it like to have turned your passion into a successful venture?
The fun fact is that I never look back like this and I say, wow, I did it. I have my passion as my day job. It's just like, naturally, there just was no other option. I never ever thought about any other option. So it was like, so every step after step just came naturally. So I never was thinking about what will I do working in a big corporate company, being an intern for 2 years, something like this. So I don't know. I never thought about that. Like job search was never on my mind. Maybe that was bad, but it turned out quite well.
Clearly it has turned out pretty well, but that's hilarious that we're never considering, you know, the corporate world. But I'm glad it turned out this way because now you're your own boss and get to again impact people's lives for the better. So that's really wonderful. So initially you were telling a story of how you attended the social media marketing class back at the radio and TV station we both used to work at. And that's when you first secured the trademark, and a few weeks later you founded the actual official company that was registered in Germany. Talk a little bit more about that process of what it was like to found your company. What were some of the biggest challenges you encountered?
You mean the legal way to found a company, or the challenges that way, or?
I mean, just in general. I mean, I'm sure like legal is a big part, and again, like legal fees are probably, you know, something that you have to take into consideration unless you have someone with a legal background in your social circle or your family. But then also, like you were mentioning earlier that you had to borrow some money from your dad, which obviously was like a good investment on his part, I think. Just like the initial couple of months.
Yeah, I was asking because I don't really remember any challenges. So I really was fortunate that my father, he received some like back pain, I don't know, tax, something like that. He had something he could lend me at that moment. Or did he sell his car? I cannot remember. So it's not common to like have that just on the side, but he was able to lend it to me. Mm. And other than this, I really do not remember any challenge. It was like, I didn't think so. I really did not think so much about that and about any obstacles. I was just like, okay, let's found a company now. Okay, what do I need to do next? Okay, I need to find a lawyer. I need to do a contract. How's that contract looking? Okay, how does this trademark thing work? Okay, let's do that. It never felt like a challenge. It was like the founding process of the company really was the easiest thing. sticking to it is hard.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, that's great to hear. And I love your go-getter mentality of just like, okay, step one, I need to do this. Okay, this is done. Check it off the list. And next, let's move on to like talking to a lawyer. Okay, I have to invest some money. That kind of sucks, but we have to do it. So check. And to just like keep working on that list and checking off those bullet points. I love that. I love that mentality because I think for me, I might have been just too overwhelmed by all the bureaucracy in itself and all the investments that would have to be associated with it.
Truly, it isn't so much bureaucracy. You really just need to have one appointment with a lawyer and like one sheet of paper to found a company. And of course, you need a bank account and you need to prove that you have to put like the money in. But you don't even need the investment. So there are two different types of companies you can found, like UG and GmbH. Mm. And for the smaller one, you need like €1 as an investment. So that's really easy. But I didn't even know what to sell, but I said, okay, I want that all business partners take me seriously, so I need the bigger company.
No, I love that. And obviously those regulatory and legal implications, like they change across countries. So what you experienced was obviously incorporating a company in Germany, but I'm sure it's different in like the US and England, Australia, wherever our listeners are sitting right now. But I mean... Again, I'm so impressed that you're just saying, oh, it wasn't as big of a deal. But, you know, you didn't study business in college. So I'm assuming most of it was kind of learning by doing in the beginning. Like how over time, how did you teach yourself like business fundamentals? How did you know how to set up like a marketing strategy, how to price your products, how to set up like customer service, like all that stuff that you eventually had to set up? Like how did you know all of that?
So you're truly right. I never studied business. And I mean, we had some business courses in school and at university. And I was like, okay, I'm not interested. Go away with that shit. I don't want to hear it. So I never listened to these courses. I just passed the exams. I was learning for the exams. That went quite well. And after that, I forgot everything. So it was learning by doing. And really a process. I mean, all this accounting stuff, I didn't know anything about in the first years. The good thing is that we hadn't so many bookings in the first year. So for me, as a one person, it was a great revenue, but compared to today, it was not much to do in terms of accounting. And so I hired a accountant. That was the best thing ever. So I guess if you are able to have one person as a freelancer or externally, it needs to be an accountant. And yeah, let me think. I just sorted all the invoices on the floor at the end of each month. And I did my homework. So nowadays I love business planning and everything that is connected to it, like the accounting stuff. And I assume that I did get quite good at it. You have to. So there's no other way. But I mean, if I compare it to the first 2 years, I really was no CEO and especially not a CFO.
That's funny, especially, you know, I'm just picturing you right now on the floor of your apartment or, you know, the first smaller office sorting through those invoices. That's such a beautiful image in my head right now. But yeah, really great great tip to hire an accountant, because that's something that would probably like annoy me so much. And it's really important for the numbers to be right at the end of the day, correct? So
yeah, if not, it really can get you in trouble. So you need somebody who knows what he's doing.
Exactly. No, totally. So you're also just saying that the first 2 years you wouldn't consider yourself to have been a CEO or a CFO. If you could go back in time, is there anything that you would have done differently?
Good question. So I think you cannot skip all the learning process. So it was okay. The company I have somehow had two different phases. I mentioned earlier that we launched the app in 2019. And since then, so we're an actual startup. And before that, it was just more like I was the expert. And maybe I hired some people which were able to assist me, but I was still like the expert with assistance somehow and not a company. And that changed. So I learned how to manage people instead of just managing my own work, and how to make myself unnecessary in that company, which as I think is the most important thing. It really needs to run without me, and I have to build the structures and everything. So it has changed a lot.
Yeah, sounds like it. I mean, you were one woman show in the beginning, and now you're just saying that the company is effectively functioning on its own without you, so you can focus on, you know, passion projects, focus on bringing on external investors and really growing the company and laying the foundations for a very successful future. So that's incredible. And I know you're also currently working on your fifth book, correct?
Yeah, it was quite in the beginning in 2016 when the first publisher approached me and asked whether I want to write the book. I was like, okay. So I have one principle, never say no. If you're afraid, always say yes and figure out how to do it later. So I said yes to that book, and then I figured out how to write the book. And then the second book came along, the third book came along, and the fourth book on ketogenic diets with several co-authors from Germany. And now I'm writing a fifth book. I told myself that I never want to write any book anymore. But the topic was so great this time, and the publisher is a really good publisher in Germany, so it was tempting.
Wow, that's wonderful. And I know you're super busy just with the day-to-day operations and focusing on the future of Foodpunk. So I know you had to work quite a few nights and weekends to make that most recent manuscript happen. It was truly incredible to follow your journey on Instagram, because I also love the authentic voice that you have on social media. You're so in touch with your audience and really engaging and just super real and genuine. And I think that's also one of the reasons why your Foodpunk community has grown so much and has become this wonderful full group of, I would say, like mostly women, correct, who are kind of empowering each other and educating themselves on the nutrition space and sharing tips and tricks and recipes and all that stuff. So yeah, kudos to you, Marina.
Thank you. So maybe you remember when we talked when we both worked at a radio station, we talked about people always seeing like work as the enemy. And we weren't so happy about that. I mean, you also do this podcast after your work and you're dedicated. And really, you mentioned those late night works for the book. In fact, it doesn't feel like that. Of course, I don't always enjoy work in every second, but it's more like, okay, I have 8 hours now. What can I do with that? It's not like, and I have to work something else. I don't want to. So really, work has never been the enemy, even before the company.
Yeah, I know that you just have that really positive mindset towards work, which is admirable. And I think, again, because you were able to create something on your own that is truly yours, I think that makes it so much more special, and you're more inclined to really invest almost every minute and every hour into Food Punk. So that's really great. And I totally agree with you. I mean, yes, I have a full-time job as well, so I'm doing this podcast on the side. But to me, yeah, similar to you, it doesn't really feel like work. It feels more like an amazing learning opportunity. And I guess we would consider ourselves both like go-getters and really going after those unique opportunities and not saying no to an opportunity that could in the future very well lead to another incredible opportunity. So that's at least my philosophy in life.
Totally, yes.
So I know that you're just kind of like going for it in the beginning, and within just a couple of weeks, you had everything figured out in terms of set up a website and trademarked everything and officially registering your GmbH. But for those people out there who are considering founding their own company one day, hopefully sooner rather than later, what are some of the important questions you have to ask yourself first before you're starting?
Mm-hmm. So if you're in a position as I was just a student, I was able to go back to my parents' home at any time. So I had nothing to lose. If you're in that position and you have nothing to lose, don't ask any questions, just get started. If you have something to lose, like you have to pay your rent, you have children, then you absolutely need to make sure that you're starting as a side business, because things may go wrong and you don't want to impact your current life. Mm-hmm. So, but if you have the possibility, really try things out, start young. Nobody will ever ask about that gap year after your studies, mm-hmm. where you try to found a company and maybe failed or maybe not.
Yeah, no, I truly love that. And, you know, most of our listeners are, in fact, women in their 20s, maybe even soon to be university graduates. So definitely a good piece of advice there. You heard it from the expert ladies. If you have an idea, if you have a passion, go follow your heart and give it a try, especially if you're so lucky to have a family that is supporting you. And I'm really glad you had that support from your parents, Marina, because otherwise that probably would have never happened, correct?
I don't think so, actually. I guess I would have found another way, because there just was no option B. So if I would not have the possibility to found the company right away because of the budget, mm-hmm. I would just have started with the other like legal version of the company, which is easier. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I wouldn't have any problems like to live in a 10 square meter apartment during the time I found a company for years. So I don't need much. And that's why I guess it would have happened anyways.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of not having much, I know that you've shared this on your Instagram before, but you're also just reiterating you don't need a whole lot. So you're actually not paying yourself a whole lot as the CEO, right? Like, you don't have to share any numbers or anything, but you just have a different mindset. Everything that you make, all the profit that you gain, you're trying to reinvest that into the company, correct?
Yeah, so the fun thing is, right away, before I had the first revenue, I started to make a contract with myself and I started to pay myself some salary, just because I wanted to have all those things sorted out. And that salary stayed the same for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. It was 800 euros per month, and it stayed that way until my accountant called and he told me, so, hey, Marina, you need to start paying yourself a proper salary. And I said, one six is okay, which I kept for several years again. Yeah, so even if I have something privately, I always reinvest it.
Yeah, that's really admirable, because I'm not sure if a whole lot of people would do that, I guess. And I'm assuming like some of your employees are probably like technically making more money than you, right?
Yeah. So really until the end of 2019, I had several employees having more at the end of the month than me. 2020, we have changed that a little bit because we are in a Series A investment round and investors don't take you seriously if this is somehow screwed up. So we changed that and had a look on the regular like salaries for different positions, such as CEO, for example. Now I have a little higher salary, but still, like, if there's something I don't need, it's always that I reinvest it. So, and I don't need much because I'm actually not doing much else than like working out and working for the company. So I spent money on food and on like workout equipment, and that's it, I guess.
Yeah, well, that good for you. Again, I really admire that and your passion and your kind of humble approach to all of this, especially money. And I think that's probably a big reason why Foodpunk is as successful as it is today, and why you've been able to hire as many people as early on. So I would love to switch gears a little bit, because, you know, that this podcast is about, you know, feminism and talking about women's issues and promoting gender equality, obviously. And both you and I know that, unfortunately, female founders are still at a disadvantage in society. I don't know the exact numbers for Germany, but I just know, like, overall, the vast majority of VC funding is still going to male founders, which absolutely needs to change. What have your experiences been like as a woman in this space?
So I personally didn't have any experiences in which I had the feeling that I have a disadvantage because I'm a woman. Mm-hmm. I never faced that, or maybe I just didn't recognize it. So I didn't think about it. Of course, I know the numbers. And if I am researching potential VCs, I see all male panels in those VC companies. And if I'm like looking through the top 50 startups in Germany, like some ranking, it's always like pictures of men and pictures of men and pictures of men. So that's when I recognize it. Also, when I'm like on an event, like for startups, like Bits and Pretzels and so on, it's mostly male dominated. But in my personal experience, I don't know, I haven't recognized it. Sometimes I also think it may be an advantage because, like, the media likes to write about female founders. So I don't know. Let's wait for the next pitches I have in front of some VCs. Maybe I will recognize some disadvantages.
Well, first of all, I'm really glad that you feel like you're not at a disadvantage just by virtue of your gender. That's fantastic. Obviously, some other women have made different experiences, but I'm really glad that wasn't or doesn't seem to be the case for you. So, like, I know you also attend like conferences where you pitched your idea, and you've obviously won a lot of awards. Like, no forms of mansplaining whatsoever. I'm just curious because I've just heard like so many different stories from other women.
No. Really not. So there is one story. It's not related to me as a business founder, but I can tell you that later. So, of course, I've met like some sexist experiences, but I don't think that these are not related like to something I do in business. So I really can't remember any mansplaining, but maybe this is also because I'm not such a socializing person. So in the first 3 or 4 years of Foodpunk, maybe 3 years, I didn't know a lot of people in the startup scene. When I was on conferences, I did listen to the speakers, and then I was back to my laptop, so I didn't get to know so many people. And of course, I didn't take part in so many conversations because I really was focused on my work and also some kind of an introvert. And now, like in the last 1-2 years, I really start to build my network, and I really enjoy it, But still, mm-hmm. I don't recognize any disadvantages mm-hmm. As a woman. But of course, apart from like me as a business founder, these sexist moments happen, which I guess every woman faces.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I don't think there is a single woman walking on this planet who hasn't experienced some form of sexism before. And yeah, I mean, maybe there's also some unconscious, or I feel like with a lot of men, there's still a lot of unconscious bias that you might not feel directly when you're interacting with them in a professional sense. But again, super, super glad you haven't had any extremely negative experiences in the context of food punk and doing business with people. We're kind of already talking about this earlier, but kind of to sum it up or wrap it up today, my last question for you today, Marina. I'm sure there are some listeners out there who also have a big passion and maybe even a brilliant idea, but they might be hesitant to actually take that initial leap of faith because, again, they either don't have enough capital to invest or no money to borrow from anyone. They're scared to leave their well-paid corporate jobs, or they might even have a family to support. What words of encouragement would you have for those women?
So you need to think about what is the worst that can happen. So really think about what is the worst case scenario, if really everything goes wrong, and what is it what you're going to do then? Will you be okay with the outcome, or will you not be okay? And then if you're not okay with that, maybe it's not the right way to go, or you need some additional steps. Like if you have children you need to support and the rent you have to pay, maybe you need to find a day job and just work a little harder in the evening hours. As sad as it sounds, it's really about the work you put in to create a better what is the worst that could happen. So a fallback situation. And then you can really go for it. But it's hard. Really, I wouldn't have started the company if I knew how much work would go in there. And so many projects, I wouldn't have started them if I knew before how that would end. But if you're right in the middle, you're still making it. So you will always be making it. But sometimes it's good if you don't know how much work will come. But you need to put in the work.
I love that. And it's just some real honesty there coming from you, Marina. We have to put in the work, think about the worst case scenario. And looking back, you wouldn't have started Food Punk if you had known how much more work would go into it. I think that's hilarious. But obviously, I'm really glad that it did happen because the company is thriving. And I truly cannot wait to see where Food Punk is going to be in a couple of years, because I know it's going to be incredible. Yeah. So thank you so much for joining me today, Marina. It was so great to talk to you again. I'm so impressed by everything that you have accomplished, and keep up the great work.
Thank you for the interview. It was nice talking to you again.
Yeah, likewise. Awesome. And yeah, to all you listeners out there, you are lucky because Marina was so kind to offer 30% off nutrition coaching. For more information, head over to our Instagram page and make sure to leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts as well. And that concludes our show. Thank you for listening to today's episode. Since we're just starting out, it would be amazing if you left us a positive review on Apple Podcasts and shared FemHype with all your female coworkers and girlfriends so we can empower as many young women as possible. Make sure to also follow us on Instagram and LinkedIn. I'm Tamina Stoll, and I hope you will be tuning in again next week. Take care, ladies.